Hello and welcome back to the podcast. First of all, slight apologies about the audio quality. I'm in the office, it's a bit sparse, there's a bit of an echo, but you know, we're going to get through this together. We're going to work through it. I do actually have two more little warnings for you. First of all, I like to keep these episodes where it's just myself, so short and sweet, so you don't have to listen to me drone on for too long, you know, sort of 10, 15 minutes at most. That probably isn't going to be the case today. So you've been warned. Maybe just save it when you've got a bit of a longer drive. And second of all, I am almost certain that at some point I'll go on a bit of a rant. I've got a rough idea of the points I want to pick on, and I know it's just going to end up for a minute or two me jumping into that. So when you start to hear me ranting, you can just skip on for a couple of minutes. Today's episode of the podcast, podcasts do have episodes, have been inspired, I guess, maybe. Someone got in touch and said they've been enjoying the podcast, they've been listening to it on their driving from work. And I said, oh, is there anything you're particularly struggling with right now? And they wanted to talk, not they wanted to, they mentioned that they've been struggling with confidence in the gym, specifically mental preparation when it comes to tough workouts and meeting the challenges of the workout. And so I thought, well, actually, you know what? That's a really good idea for a podcast. And what I would say to all of you listening to this, if you find yourself in a position where you've got a question about training, about fitness, just ping me it via a DM on Instagram. Because if it's something I can give you a quick couple of voice notes or a bullet point answer to, I'll respond. If, however, like this, I feel like it deserves a bit more attention and a bit more nuance, then it's a great chance for you to jump on a podcast and record the episode so that we can take a bit more time. We can go into the depth that's required and give it the attention that it deserves, I suppose. So really grateful to this person. You know, we had a little bit of a chat. And like I said, today's podcast has been taken from that initial idea. We will cover a few different things, but as the title suggests, depending upon how I've written it, we're going to be talking about how you can overcome a lack of confidence in the gym. And there are usually a few different ways in which this presents itself. So this particular individual said that it wasn't necessarily a confidence thing or motivation. I'm going to just read out bits rather than erming and trying to summarize. They said, I think for me and probably a load of people, we get inspiration from fellow members who are smashing it. But when we do it, it's like, I can't do as well as them and possibly confuse can't do and won't do and give up. And that the easy way out is to stop rather than digging in. And that's what separates people. The mental toughness to pass through this is sometimes too much for people. It's something that I actively train because I recognize it in myself. So this is probably going to come up more if you're doing an endurance event, some conditioning work, or a longer workout like a Metcon or a CrossFit sort of workout of the day. I don't necessarily think it would come up with a one rep max because your blood pressure is going to be so sky high that you don't want to think about anything anyway. But it is really normal. And what I should say before we get into any of the detail is that having a lack of confidence, going to the gym, in the gym, challenging yourself is perfectly normal. And I go one step further and I say it's actually a really good thing. It's actually a really good indicator. It doesn't matter if it's your first time or you've been going for decades. People who step out of their comfort zone to challenge themselves will almost certainly, at times, have a lack of confidence. And like I said, that's a good thing. Because if you don't sometimes have concerns, if you're not judging up the risk, if you don't have a little voice in the back of your mind, you know, questioning whether you have the ability to meet this challenge and you know, surpass it and beat it, then you're probably a bit of a naive and arrogant person. And that also makes you a little bit of a danger to yourself because there are sometimes risks. So if someone never has these concerns, never finds that they have to mentally prepare themselves for workout, never finds that confidence is somewhat of an issue, then to me that tells me one of two things. It says they're either never challenging themselves, which is the whole point of being in the first place, or they're a bit stupid, naive, and arrogant, and in which case they're potentially a danger to themselves, and you know, this podcast isn't going to help them anyway because they wouldn't be listening. So if you have concerns, if you lack confidence, welcome to the club. Welcome to the team. Doesn't matter if it's your first day or your 1 millionth. Maybe not everyone's going to get to 1 million gym days. Everyone has it. With the particular sort of issue this person talked about, like I said, it's really normal when you're pushing yourself in like a conditioning test, doing interval work, going for a run, doing like a CrossFit Metcon style workout. You know, there'll be a point where you probably start having this little conversation in the back of your mind. So this little voice pops up and sort of it tries to start convincing you to stop, that you've done enough, that you can just go, you know, 50, 60%. And look, doesn't matter how quote unquote mentally tough you are, doesn't matter how fit you are or strong you are, sometimes that little voice will win over. And that's okay, that's normal. Okay, so first of all, don't beat yourself up if sometimes it gets the better of you. At the beginning of this year, end of last year, myself and a group of guys were working to improve our 2K performance on the roller, and the workouts were tough by most standards. Very, very tough. We had specific targets. We had to hit every single session. It was tough. And I would be lying to you if I said that I nailed every single workout, because I didn't. I didn't. Sometimes I just bottled it. Sometimes that little voice got the better of me and I just bailed. That happens. That happens to everyone, okay? The first thing to remember is that the only way to get better at overcoming that little voice in the back of your mind is to expose yourself to those challenges more frequently, because it's only by seeing what you're capable of doing and building confidence that you can overcome that. I'm not convinced that mental toughness actually exists. I think it's more just about having confidence in your abilities. If you have run 5K in 30 minutes and you set a goal to run 5K in 29 and a half minutes, you're probably going to have a reasonable amount of confidence, because that's only 30 seconds, which over 5K is 6 seconds. You have to knock off 6 seconds off a kilometer. You're probably going to be reasonably confident about that. And so when you're running and things get tough, you're just going to remind yourself, I've got 30 minutes in the bag, so I've just got to find 6 seconds every kilometer. Now, if you've only ever run 5K in 45 minutes, then running it in 29:30 is going to be more challenging from a confidence point of view, because the gap is bigger, okay? And that's the first thing we want to concern ourselves with. It's what is the gap I've set myself? When we did, over a year ago, myself and three guys did 7 rowing marathons back to back, which I talk about all the time anyway. And we made sure that every single one of us did a marathon on the rower 2 weeks before we started. For really, really obvious reason. We didn't want to go in to day one not knowing what it felt like to do a marathon. So we got that out of the way. We were like, we trained really hard for a couple of months, and 2 weeks beforehand, everyone did a marathon. And then we tapered off a little bit, you know, let our sore bums recover. And then we went for it. And on day one, we knew exactly what it was going to feel like. It was still going to be tough. Like, we knew it was going to be tough, but we were more prepared and we had more confidence in our abilities to meet the task set before us, because we'd already done it. Like, we'd already done it. We knew what it was going to be like. There wasn't any second guessing. There wasn't any naivety. We knew exactly when it was going to hurt, where it was going to hurt. And so we could plan for that. But also, when those little voices in the back of your head come up and they go, oh, why don't you take a break now? Why don't you take it easy? You know, why don't you stop? You can respond back to that in your own head. You know, I'm not schizophrenic. And say, no, I've done this before. You know, I've been to this point before. I've completed this distance. I've completed this task. I know it's going to be tough. Like, I'd be stupid to think it's not going to be tough, but I have confidence in my abilities to complete this. So that's the first thing. How big is this gap? If you've never done something before or you've never got close to it, it's going to require a lot more mental preparation, self-talk. If it's just a little bit more than you've done before, then actually it requires less of that. So that's the first thing. If you find yourself in a challenge, then reassure yourself beforehand that you've been close to it before. And if you haven't been close, then that's your first concern. If you're going to try and knock 5 minutes off of your time on a workout, then that might not be realistic right now. You might be able to do it a stretch, but you're probably better off shooting for 2 or 3 minutes faster rather than 5 minutes. But like I said, it's about that gap. What have you done previously? What are you trying to do? And over the course of training, we want to make that gap between those 2 points as small as possible. And that way, during the event, you've got ammunition. When that little voice pops up in the back of your mind and says, you've not got this, you should stop, you know, you've done okay, you can just remind it and say, I've done this before. I've got close to it before. I just have to dig a little bit further. You know, I did it in this amount. I did it in this time, last time I did it, and I was okay. I sweat a lot. I breathe really heavy, but I was okay. And so if I push a little bit further, I'm going to be okay. There are other little things that you can do during workouts, I find at least, that help. And this is going to sound really, really simple. A lot of times, what got me through the tougher rowing workouts was just reminding myself that I was still breathing. It sounds really, really silly. Like your lungs are burning, every single muscle in your body's on fire, your grip's killing. And again, those little voices start creeping in and you start wondering whether you can actually do it or whether you should stop. And I just remind myself, I'm still breathing. And in the gym, on a rowing machine, doing workouts, if you're still breathing, you can keep going, okay? Again, I'm not suggesting anyone go out and start running a marathon if you've never run a 5K before and just tell yourself, I'm still breathing, I can do it. But you get my point. It's just another little thing. There are other things you can do to distract yourself. A lot of times, people overwhelm themselves because they focus on the big picture, okay? This applies to so much. If you are, you know, if you want to change your body composition, lose some weight, I might go on the phone with someone and they say, well, I want to lose 20 pounds. That's quite, you know, if I put 20 pounds in front of you, if I gave you a 20 pound weight, I'm not American, really, this is what, 10 kilos. Let's just call it 10 kilos. 10 kilos is a significant number. Sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. And if your goal is 10 kilos, it's so far away that sometimes it can seem too big. So let's just focus on 1 kilo. The same applies during your workouts. You're trying to row a kilometer as fast as you can. If it gets tough 200 meters in, don't focus on the next 800. Focus on the next one. One of the guys I did the rowing with had a really good tip. He said, just count down in tens. Like when it gets tough, distract yourself. 10 pulls. 1, 2, I'm counting up. Count down. 10, 9, 8. And when we got to 10, I would roughly have hit 100 meters. And then I count down from 10 again. And all of a sudden, I was just focusing on the number, one repetition at a time. And I wasn't worried about anything else. As long as I was on pace, as long as I was still hitting the same speed, it didn't matter if I had 500 meters to go. I just counted down from 10. And then I counted down from 10 again. Little simple things like that can make a big difference. But like I said, it's perfectly normal sometimes for that little voice in the back of your head to get the better of you. That's okay. You are, and if that happens, that's a good sign because it means you are challenging yourself. If you never have to overcome those little doubts, then chances are you're never challenging yourself. And that's the whole point we're in the gym in the first place. Now, we don't want to do it for every exercise. If you're going to do bicep curls, I don't think you should be mentally preparing yourself to do that, okay? Because that would be horribly stressful. But every now and again, during the week, you're going to pick one or two things. And you're going to take that intensity dial and you're going to turn it all the way up to 11. This is Spinal Tap reference. For the rest of you, just 10, just turn up to 10. Like I said, you can't do every single workout, you can't do every single exercise, and you don't need to, but it is good to do it from time to time, and it is necessary to do it if you want to become the fittest and strongest and most badass version of yourself. And when you do those challenges, you are going to have doubts and concerns. Perfectly normal. That tells me that it is an actual challenge. If you don't have that, then like I said, you are either the most naive and arrogant person in the world, or you're not actually pushing yourself. And like I said, the most important thing is to expose yourself to that on a frequent basis. Because if you never do it, it's such a strange thing to go through. But the more you do it, the more frequently and consistently you do that, then two things will occur. First of all, you'll get better at having that conversation with yourself. And second of all, you'll get fitter and stronger anyway. Like, it's less of a deal to do something if you've done it already or if you've improved on it. Because you can just think about that. You can just, you've got more points, more data points to reflect upon to build your confidence. So that's the first thing I want to talk about. Confidence in the gym when it comes to pushing yourself with a conditioning workout, a Metcon, a finisher, you know, assault bike, ski erg, rower, running, whatever it might be. It's normal to have concerns. It means you're challenging yourself. There are a few things you can do, which I've talked about. Now, the other thing that people tend to have a lack of confidence with, and this is more on the, I find that this occurs more on the strength training side of things, so lifting weights. People have concerns about the risks involved, and what potentially might happen should things, quote unquote, go wrong. I'm doing quote marks standing in the office. Obviously, there's no video to this, so that was unnecessary. There are a few things I want to touch on this subject. Again, it's perfectly normal. The first thing that I want you to have a little think about is, have you got all the physical measures in place that you can? This is really, really simple. If you're going for a new one rep max on your back squat, I should caveat as well. If you're going for a new one rep max on any exercise or you're going for a new PB, you are, I'm assuming, just going for a little bit more than you've done before. If your back squat one rep max is 100 kilos and you're going for 150, then we need to have a separate conversation. But if you're going for 102.5 or you've bench pressed 80 kilos for 5 before and you want to see if you can get 6 or 7, cool, fantastic. That's what we're talking about. If you're doing like silly, stupid things, then that's a separate conversation and this doesn't apply to you. Like I said, you're going for a back squat PB and you're slightly concerned, well, what if I can't finish the rep? Well, that's a reasonable concern because you may not. You're challenging yourself. It might not happen. You might not have the strength today. That's cool. But there are some things we can do straight away, like having the safety pins in. Because then when you have that little concern in your back of mind that says, well, what happens if I can't finish the rep? What happens if I can't stand up? Then you go, well, then I just put the bar on the safety pins. And it's as simple as that. Problem that we've addressed that concern. We've addressed that problem. I like using the pendulum squat at the gym I go to. And sometimes I'll put a little bit more weight on the bar than I've done before, or I'll go for 8 reps where I've only done 6. And a little bit in the back of my mind goes, what happens if you can't finish the rep, Aaron? Because I'm not using a spotter. And then I go, well, it's fine. I'll put the little safety thing in place. There's a little block that you can raise up or down, obviously, higher, lower. And so if I get to a certain depth, it can sit on that. And so I set it to an inch below my bottom position. So that if I get to the bottom position and I can't stand up, I just drop down an inch further and the weight sits on that block and I can clamber out. And the only thing that's been significantly damaged is my pride and dignity. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I barely got any left anyway. So if I lose any more, it's not too much of an issue. So look, it's perfectly reasonable to have concerns that you might not finish your rep. First thing to do is make sure you've got safety measures in place. If you're bench pressing, can you get a spotter? If you are front squatting or using dumbbells, do you know how to get out of those bits of kit? You know, like, are you confident with a front squat? Because you can't spot a front squat. Do you have safety pins in place or do you know how to bail from a rep? Little things like that. With a deadlift, obviously, if you can't finish a rep, you just put the bar down. So those are some quick fixes. I know that doesn't solve the problem of you still having a lack of confidence, but it solves the problem of you worrying that you might get significantly hurt or stuck. Like, I have seen people get stuck on bench press, on hack squats, on leg presses, on squats, and it is not a pretty sight. And in almost 99.9% of those instances, I can see an easy fix that could have been set up beforehand to save them having to worry about, like, to start throwing their head around looking for help, to save other people come running over. It's a shit show when that happens, when you could have just put some safety measures in place. Like, just put the safety pins in. You're not impressing anyone by not using them. Just use them. The other concern people have, or one of the other concerns people have when it comes to strength training and going for heavy lifts, is around form and technique. Because sometimes when you go for a really heavy squat, you might move slightly differently. When you go for a really heavy deadlift that you've not done before, your back might round a little bit. You might like wiggle it like, and some people, understandably, have concerns about this because they're worried that if they deviate from textbook form, if they don't have everything lined up, then they're going to get hurt. And it's understandable for you to have those concerns because there's a bunch of manipulative assholes on social media who are very convincing, are very well-spoken, very articulate, and make seemingly good arguments that deviating from textbook form is a recipe for injury and disaster. And so it is perfectly normal for you to have those concerns. It's perfectly understandable and acceptable for you to have those concerns, for you to think there might be something wrong with deviating from perfect form, for your back to not be completely straight and neutral at all times, for your knees to stay outside your feet and pushing them out as hard as you can. And if they start coming in even a little bit, you're going to end up hurt. Like, there's a lot of people with big followings who have got lots of initials after their name, and they make a lot of money and they have great followings because they are very convincing in their arguments. And I told you I was going to go off on a rant. There's lots of things that annoy me and lots of things that anger me. But in the fitness world, this is probably the one that gets me the most, that triggers me the most. I'm a soft, gentle snowflake and I've been triggered. Yep, I have. Like I said, there's a lot more pressing and serious matters out there than people rounding their backs and being told that it's bad for them. But we're on a fitness podcast, so we'll just focus on the fitness stuff to start for now. I lost my train of thought there. You might be concerned about deviating from textbook perfect form. Let's start there. Your spine not being perfectly straight. I want to reassure you that, from my understanding, there is very little in terms of evidence. There's very little evidence that form in a repetition, in an individual rep, has a significant impact on injury and pain. Most injuries that happen in the gym, that occur in the gym, you'll be maybe surprised to hear, stem from people tripping over stuff, trips and falls, which is why it's really important that you put your dumbbells back, okay? Because most people get hurt in the gym tripping over stuff, falling over, or having things dropped on their feet, okay? Like 70, 80%. I would be lying to you if I said that no one ever got hurt doing weights, but you'll be pleased to hear it's such a small number. You are more likely to get injured playing badminton than you are going to the gym. And again, we are assuming that you are training reasonably well. You're not going in and deadlifting 100 kilos when you've never touched a barbell before. You're not going in and challenging yourself with stupid feats of strength and endurance. Like, you're training well, you're following a sensible program, you're gradually increasing the weight on the bar or the reps or the sets. Like, we're assuming that, okay? Minute changes in form, from what I understand, don't really have any correlation or causational relationship with injury and pain. Now, this might go against what some people have heard and what some people are told and what some people have seen online, because there are a significant number of personal trainers and online coaches who have not only qualified in fitness, but also in fortune telling and telling the future and predicting it. And you don't have to look very hard to see people say things like, well, if your back rounds, it might not hurt today, but it's going to be painful in 5 years. And, oh, so you squat outside your active range of movement, it's fine now, but your knees won't thank you in a decade. Like, what? Or one of my favorites, anybody who has ever used the term friendly to describe an exercise, joint friendly tricep exercises, shoulder friendly pec exercises, knee friendly squat exercises. What the fuck are you talking about? Don't do skull crushes. It's not joint friendly. Do this cable exercise. Like, I told you I was going to go on a rant. You might as well just skip for a few minutes. Oh my fucking God. It drives me mad. Joint friendly exercises. A lot of times you can spot who these individuals are a mile away because they will use analogies that involve inanimate fucking objects. It's an In Bruges reference. Like cars. anyone who compares a body to a car, you can pretty much disregard anything they say from this point on, because your body's not a car. Cars don't adapt. They don't get stronger. They're not living organisms that heal themselves, and not just heal themselves, but get stronger than they were before. Like, if your body was a car, then here's what would happen. Every time you drove it, your tires would get thicker and stronger, but they don't. Your tires wear out. Guess what happens when you use your muscles? They don't wear out. They get stronger. They get more resilient. Like, it's almost the inverse, which is why it's hilarious when people start using car analogies. I've seen analogies along the lines of people say, oh, well, going to extreme ranges of movement is a bit like driving, you know, driving down the mountainside and using the barriers along the side of the road to guide your car. Because although you can do it, you know, you're going to create wear and tear. It makes sense from an analogy. Like, when you look at this, when people say these things, if they're well-spoken, they're articulate, it kind of makes sense. And you think, yeah, it probably would create some wear and tear. So I'm going to that. But again, if we're training reasonably well, then in actual fact, more often than not, your joints and your muscles end up getting stronger and more resilient in those end positions. Again, it would be a bit like driving your car down a mountain, down a mountainside track, path, road, whatever, and using the side barriers. And when your car got down from the mountainside, it was suddenly much bigger, or the plating and the metal used on the doors were much thicker all of a sudden. Like, people that compare your body to an inanimate object, you could just ignore when it comes to performance and pain. Because you're not an inanimate object. Sorry, I told you I got on a rant and a rave. It drives me fucking mad. It drives me really mad. Because these individuals potentially mean well. Fine, we'll let them have that. But what it does is it creates this notion, it creates this idea that you're a fragile thing and you need to take care of absolutely everything, when the reality is that you are incredibly strong and resilient and adaptable. You may just not know it yet. Human bodies are capable of crazy shit. Now, you might not be able to do crazy shit right now, but over time, you can probably build up to it. Like, human bodies do some pretty awesome things. And I don't get why there's a big problem with that. You don't have to do things. Like, if you don't want to train super hard, if you don't want to get super strong, if you don't want to challenge yourself and push yourself, that's fine. I'm not here to convince you, but what I certainly don't want you to have is this notion that you need to have textbook form, you need to stay in your active range of movement, and that not doing so is a recipe for pain and disaster. Like, this isn't about confidence anymore, is it? I've just used this as an opportunity to rant. It's been nice to get this off my chest. I would say it's been cathartic, but it hasn't. Because invariably, I'll stumble across this today on Instagram or tomorrow, and I'll be back to square one. Like, human bodies are capable of crazy things. If you just give them enough time and enough stress to adapt, there's very little that you can't do. I'm not saying you're going to go out and beat Mo Farah's 10K time, or Eliud Kipchoge's marathon time, or Steve Redgrave's rowing time. I'm not saying you're going to deadlift more than Eddie Hall, or run faster than Paula Radcliffe, but you can probably do more than you realize. Like, you may not be able to do a chin-up right now, but your body can adapt and get stronger and you can do a chin-up. You may not be able to run 10K right now, or a marathon. That doesn't mean you can't do it in the future. You may not ever run it super fast, but that doesn't mean you'll never be able to do it. Slight gap in the recording there. I only get 30 minutes max when I'm calling straight into my web browser, and we are at 29 minutes and 30 seconds. Like I was saying, it's probably been a seamless transition for you, probably not even noticed. Like I was saying, the human body is incredibly adaptable and strong and resilient, and more often than not, you just need to give it a bit of a nudge and give it enough time in order to adapt, and you will be amazed at what you can actually do. If you listen to the Nocebros, which is the term that I use and I think some other people use, For the guys, it does always seem to be blokes as well. For the guys who nocebo you into thinking that you'll be in pain if you do certain things or certain exercises are bad for you. If you follow their advice, you're always going to be scared of certain exercises, scared of quote unquote imperfect form, and scared of injury and pain. And that is a really, really shitty position and frame of mind to be in. And it can be debilitating when it comes to getting in the gym and working hard. Sometimes you're going to pull a muscle. Sometimes you're going to tweak something. There's not necessarily anything wrong with you if you did that. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes we just push ourselves a bit too far, a bit too hard, or we just do things a certain way and we like tweak a muscle, we pull it, we strain it. Those things are fairly normal. They don't happen regularly, or they shouldn't. They should happen all the time, but it might happen. But having optimism in your movement and in exercise is what I want you to have. Because the other option, seeing yourself as a fragile little flower who needs to align everything perfectly, is going to be, it's just a really crap position to be in. Okay? Like, if you're dealing with a genuine injury or issue, then speak to a physical therapist, a doctor, speak to someone who is qualified in rehabilitation and pain management. Don't listen to personal trainers like me or online coaches like me talk about pain and injury, because we are not qualified in that. We're not experienced in that. Like, we've read some textbooks and we've read some blogs, we've watched some YouTube videos, and we've heard other people talking about it, but we're not qualified to talk about pain, which is why you don't find me telling you that this exercise will fix pain. I can fix your pain. Like, the overwhelming body of evidence shows that injuries in the gym happen very infrequently. And when they do, it's more likely someone's dropped something on their foot or they've tripped over something. And so long as you're training well and intelligently with a degree of intensity, you are very unlikely to suffer a serious injury. Every now and again, you might tweak a muscle, but there's not always something you can do about that. And to an extent, that's part and parcel of pushing yourself and challenging yourself. Having a goal of being pain-free isn't the thing. We're going to the gym to get stronger. We're going to the gym to get fitter, to improve our quality of life. We might be looking to build muscle. We might just be looking to feel a bit better about ourselves because we're absolutely nailing our workouts and we're PBing across the board and we're pushing ourselves to reach new levels and we're overcoming those little doubts and little voices in the back of our heads. And that's a really, really awesome feeling to have. And that is what I want you to focus on. And sometimes your body will move differently. Sometimes you won't finish a repetition. Sometimes you won't finish a workout. You won't hit your pace. You won't hit your targets. That's okay. Because it means that you're trying. It means that you are stepping outside of your comfort zone to challenge yourself. And that is why we're doing it all in the first place. Like, getting bigger muscles, maybe changing our body composition, improving our fitness. Like, that is... those are all awesome side effects of stepping out of your comfort zone and doing things that are potentially uncomfortable and challenging. Like, that's what we're really doing. The side effect is we feel better about ourselves. We fit into a smaller pair of jeans. We build bigger arms. We can run 5K a little bit faster. But those are just really awesome side effects. Like I said, what we're really doing is just putting ourselves in a very safe environment. Gyms are incredibly safe, and choosing to challenge ourselves and choosing to better ourselves and push ourselves. And that in itself is really fucking awesome. So yeah, sorry about the rant. Hopefully at least the first 10 minutes of this episode were helpful. If you did find this helpful, I would love for you to leave me a review and let me know. Maybe even if you're really awesome, share it on your stories. Take a screenshot, tag me in it. Just let me know. It's either that or I just do endless Lord of the Rings fitness memes. And for the one or two of you who said I must be running out of Lord of the Rings fitness memes, you have no idea. I am one of the most disorganized people in the world, but I have a folder of over 150 unused memes. I will never run out of Lord of the Rings memes. One or two of you have said, surely you're maxing out now. The extended editions of Lord of the Rings combined runs for over 14 hours. We're just getting started, my friends. We're just getting started. Right, anyway. See you on the next one.